Amen. Amen. What a blessing. If you would, in your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, as we look this morning at the Scriptures, and I tell you what, it's a blessing to be a part of a church with such great music, Christ-honoring music, and I've enjoyed that this morning. I hope it's prepared your heart, you're ready to hear the preaching, and from the very beginning, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach on the family this morning, and we'll see how many of you have already turned me off. Turn it back on, turn the knob back on, and I hope this morning you'll listen, and I just have a great burden, as many of you do, for the family, especially for our church family and families in our church, and that God would continue to bless these. And we live today in a world that's just seemingly is spiraling down. We know it is, and it seems like it's so chaotic and out of control. We live lives today that are supposed to be much enhanced by the various doohickeys that we've got. You know, cell phones and washing machines and microwaves. But yet all those things seem to have made our lives more complicated and even faster. I know now with cell phone, you can't get away from anybody. You know, it's always there. And so just today as we look at things, we look at the think about the economy and just sometimes we may get frustrated not only with life, but in all of that, our marriages many times take a big hit. And it's frustrating many times in marriages and in our marriage with our spouses that we continue to face obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Let me tell you again, as I've said the last few weeks, as the Christian life was meant to be enjoyed and not endured, so marriage was meant to be enjoyed and not endured. Our spouses were meant to be enjoyed. Our families were meant to be enjoyed. And we should have joy in these that God has given us. As I think many times about marriage counseling and dealing with various couples as they come to my office and dealing with them and the various problems they may have, I find again as I look at those and think about those various counseling sessions that every marriage basically has the same issues. Number one on the top of the list is, what is it? Money. Always finances. You know, they come in and say, "Preacher, we're fighting." I said, "Fighting about money, aren't you?" I mean, just almost out of the blue, you can get on it. And let me tell you, just again, about the life has become very chaotic. And then, of course, the finances deal with that. And on down the list. Let's read this verse of Scripture here as dealing with the family. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We're going to have a victorious marriage. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Notice the context of which the Scripture is found. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be walking with Jesus. We need to be talking with Him. We need a relationship with Him. 1 John 1:7. "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." That basically means this. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is right, your relationship with your fellow man will be right. If you want a successful marriage, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In counseling sessions, many times the counselor will set up a triangle. And the man on this side of the triangle, the woman on this side of the triangle, and God at the top of the triangle. And as the man and the woman get closer to God, they get closer to each other. And it works every time, folks. If you want a victorious marriage, if you want a victorious family, get closer to God. Get closer to God and you'll get closer to your spouse and to your children. We need Spirit-filled Christians today in order to have, if you would, Spirit-filled marriages. Look at verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverenced her husband. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your Bible, for Your Word that You've given us. We understand this morning as Christians that the Bible is our roadmap, it's our guide, and we pray, Lord, that we would follow Your directions. And God, we ask this morning especially that You would be with each family here, that You would touch their hearts, that You would work in these marriages, work in these families, God, as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, as people come to my office for marital counseling, they come with real problems. Many times coming, they'll say things like, "Well, Pastor, I don't love her anymore." Or she'll say, "Pastor, I don't love him anymore." And again, I think that term has been misused and abused. Love, my Bible says, is a commitment. And my dad said as well. I remember my dad pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Love is a commitment. Love is not what you see on TV. Amen. Absolutely. Love, as it is summarized into the one complete summarization of love, is unselfishness. It's being unselfish towards your spouse, being unselfish towards your wife, being unselfish towards your husband. It's again, it's a commitment that we make between us and God when we chose to walk down that aisle with that spouse. Again, we need to remember that love, if you are seeing love only as a feeling, that you can fall out of love or fall in love very quickly. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there, but understanding that if you feel like you don't love your spouse anymore, start treating your spouse like you did when you dated her or when you dated him, and you'll be very surprised how quickly you'll fall in love with him again. I'm talking about the feeling of love. You're committed in marriage. There ain't no way out of it. That's good English, but you're committed. You're committed. As far as how you feel towards your spouse, you can simply just follow the plan. Treat your spouse like you did when you dated, and you will fall back in love again. You say every time? Every time. Amen. I feel better already. Listen, the family is the bullseye of Satan today. He wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy the husband. He wants to destroy the wife. We need to love each other. We need to care for each other. We need to stay on track in our marriages. We can have a victorious home. Well, I just hate him, or I hate her. There are many situations where families are in that particular situation. Maybe a child who's more loved by, I don't know, the Jonas Brothers than they're loved by their own parents. Amen. They spend more time with the TV than they do with their own parents. We need to be very careful. Our homes need to be more than love if we're going to be victorious in our homes. There are four things I want to give you this morning that we can have an abounding marriage and having abounding relationships. Number one, we need accountability. We need accountability. No one wants to take orders. No one wants to take orders. Children don't like to obey. Children don't like to obey. First thing a teenager does, they get to be about 14 or 15 and they think they can be independent. They don't want mom and dad telling them what to do. I keep telling my teenage boys, I say, listen, you're always going to have somebody telling you what to do. Just get used to it. Amen? You say, well, I work for myself. Well, you got clients that are telling you what to do. You're always going to have somebody telling you what to do. Listen, we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, who's concerned for us, who gave us a roadmap and how to have a successful marriage and how to have a successful family. He loves and He's concerned and He cares for us, and we ought to obey Him. Amen? As we think about authority, no one wants to take orders. No one wants to be accountable. Men on the job who don't want to, you know, bow or bend or be accountable to a boss. Or everybody thinks, you know, talking about equal rights and so forth. Listen, you're going to be accountable to somebody. You're going to answer to somebody. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:3 that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. Christ is the head of every man and the woman. 1 Corinthians 11:3, let me quote that. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man. Again, we want to be accountable to, we need to be accountable to the Lord. We need to be accountable to Him concerning our jobs and our families. We need to be accountable to Him concerning our children. We need to be accountable to Him. Christ is head over all. We talk about in the home, about the chaos in the home. The only way to bring true peace to your life and my life is Christ. Amen? He gives the peace that passes all understanding. That also applies to the home. If you want genuine peace in your home, make Christ the head. Make Christ the head of the home. 1 Peter 2:7 says that He is, Ephesians 4:15 says He is the head over all things. He is the head. 1 Peter 2:7 says He is the head of the church. He's the head of the man. He's the head of the woman. He's the head of the, He's the head over all things. He's the head of the church. And we're to be accountable to Him. Every Christian man will give an account of the Lord for his life and his family. God has given you a family. Men, listen. God has given me a family. I have a wife and I have 5 kids. 4 boys and a girl. I've told you my brother has 11. 9 kids and him and his wife. 9 kids. Listen, we've been given a treasure, the Bible says, from the Lord. Amen? We've been given a treasure from the Lord, our families, our kids. And one day we will give an account for our families. We'll give an account of how good a father we were. We'll give an account of how we treated our children. We'll give an account of how we messed with our finances. We're going to give an account for these things. Remember that one day. We will, if you don't want to be accountable here on earth, one day you will stand before the judge and you will be accounted. You will be accountable, whether you like it or not. Listen, I want to stand before God someday and He say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not only in ministry, but in my family. Listen, my family's not all it should be. And we have failed from time to time. And that we have to restructure. We have to re-up it. We have to continue to go forward. Listen this morning. We must be accountable to God. A real man will submit to Christ. A real man will submit to Christ. The wife is to be accountable to the husband. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The wife, the Christian wife, biblically, is accountable to her husband. I know this is not politically correct. Let me define submission for you. Submission is the voluntary surrender of your will to another. Submission is the voluntary surrender of your will to another. Submit means to lay down your arms and quit fighting. Lay down your arms. You ever felt like your marriage is nothing but a battle? Submit just means lay down the arms. Quit fighting. Voluntarily surrender. Submit to the biblical guideline found here. By the way, someone's leading the home. Biblically, it should be the husband. Ouch. That's on the internet, too. They'll be sending me letters. Submit. Voluntarily surrender. Someone's leading the husband. The husband is to give the family direction. You say, "Well, my husband won't do that." Well, submit. Submit. Voluntarily surrender. I'm just going to keep repeating that because I ain't got much else. This doesn't mean that the husband is smarter. Could be just the other way. I've seen it a lot the other way. In fact, it may be that way in our family. It doesn't mean the husband is smarter. It doesn't mean the husband has better, degree or whatever the case may be. It just means that the Bible says the husband's the head of the home and the home will function better under his leadership. Why? Because it's the way God established it. If you'll do things God's way, things run better. How do you know that? Because God has our best interest in mind. If He set up the family with this type of structure, and if it will run under that structure, He has our best interest in mind, then that means it's going to function well. Amen? It's going to function like it's supposed to. Listen, submit. Whether Tanya's right or wrong, I won't go into it. This does not mean that the husband is the lord of the home. Doesn't mean that he's the all and out ruler of the home. Husbands, try that once or twice. See what happens. Amen? Listen, if you're a fool. Hang on. Let's make that. Fool has said in his heart that there's no God. We'll use a different term. It's much to your detriment if you do not take your wife's counsel. Amen? I don't know how many times that I have, nearly every decision we make, we talk about. Every decision. By the way, most of the decisions made in the church, I've gone to my wife for counsel. I want my wife there. But I'm glad I have a wife who's loving, kind, and gracious to me. And she's allowed me to even make some mistakes. Because I've done that a time or two. Just like I've done that here at the church. Amen? I've never made any mistakes at the church. We need to follow the biblical guidelines. Any man in this room who has any measure of success can thank a supportive wife. Amen. Thirdly, both should be accountable to the local church. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. There is accountability to the church. There's accountability to the local church. I've never thought of it this way, but Acts 2:41 it says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I read between the lines there, they may have kept roll. There was a roll call. There must have been some kind of roll. They added it to them. We had a roll call today. I'm glad you showed up. And there is accountability to the church. Every Christian needs a pastor and deacons concerned for them. Every person in this room needs a pastor who will call them after they miss a few Sundays and say, where have you been? Everybody in this room needs a deacon, that'll call every once in a while and say, where have you been? Every one of us need a pastor and a deacon who'll come to you when you lose a loved one. And I mean, just on and down the line. And have that accountability. There's a man that I sent many years ago now, 14 years ago. I began to teach a Sunday school class and a young adult department, and I had a man in that class who came sporadically. He'd come for like 6 weeks and he'd stop. He'd stop for about 3 months and then he would. And what happened was, I figured it out. If I would go visit him, he would come. And so every other week when he missed, he knew I was going to show up at his house. He just knew it. I mean, I'd pull up Tuesday, normal Baptist visitation, drive up, the preacher's here again. He'd be out working in his yard and say, man, where were you? You weren't in Sunday school today. And kept at it and kept at it. You know what? Faithfully serving the Lord today. Called to preach today. I'm not saying I was anything. I'm just saying keeping at it. We need accountability. We need somebody to encourage us. I thank the Lord for my wife who will encourage me and be an encouragement to me. We need that accountability. Accountability. We must be accountable. A man is accountable to Christ. The wife is accountable to her husband, and both are accountable to the church. We must have, if we are going to have a victorious home, we must have accountability. Number two, we must have acceptance. It said He loved the church and gave Himself for it. Listen, when genuine acceptance is totally lacking in many homes today. In other words, most of the acceptance we find in the home today is based upon performance. Let me ask you this question. Do you love your family because of what they do, or because of who they are? Do you love your wife because of what she can do for you, or because of who she is? Amen. Do you love your children because of what they do or for who they are. Again, you say, well, the wife can say, as long as I'm losing weight, he loves me. As long as I'm losing weight, he cares for me. As long as I'm doing this, he cares for me. As long as we've got the food on the table or whatever the case is. Kids grow and they become disobedient. And the only way they get accepted is by winning a ball game. I've told you the story before, but my dad still declines it. Says it never happened. But my dad used to yell and scream at us when we were little kids at the baseball game. And one time, I've told the story 100 times, but a lot of new people in the room, so I'll say it again. I was, you know, like second or third grade playing baseball. Coach pitched, actually, I think. And the coach pitched the ball. And I had been grounded that week. Dad had grounded me for something. I was always in trouble. And he told me, he said, if you'll make a home run, I'll unground you. Cool. So, man, the first one I got up didn't hit me. But that, man, I finally hit one out in the outfield. And I came around. I kept first base, came around to second base, came around to third base. And, you know, the coach is sitting there. He's giving signs like, what do I do? Keep on running. Keep on running, because I'm going to get ungrounded. And came around the third baseline, came down third baseline, and got out. My dad screamed and hollered at me. So again, he'll deny it, but it absolutely happened. We must be very careful that our acceptance with our wives, our acceptance to our husband, our acceptance with our kids, not based upon performance, not based upon whether they get a good grade or whatever the case is, whether they obey, our acceptance of them is unconditional. The Lord loves us unconditionally. We should love our families unconditionally. We should love our wife, our husbands unconditionally. We should love our kids unconditionally. God accepts me just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. Aren't you glad of that? That's the grace of God. God's unmerited favor. God loves me in spite of me. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 22 says, and the rib which God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So God made woman and brought her unto Adam. That's again why the father of the bride walks the bride down the aisle to give her to her husband. And he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And Adam totally accepted her. Again, I think he said, whoa, man. Whoa, man. Number one, we must have accountability. If we are going to have a victorious home, we must be accountable to our Creator. We must have total acceptance in the home. Total acceptance. Knowing that no matter what I do, no matter where I've been, that my dad will accept me, my mom will accept me. No matter what I've done or how I perform, my wife will accept me. My husband will accept me. Number three is availability. And guys, you know I've spent a lot of time on this one before, and it says there in verse 25 that Christ gave Himself for it. Gave Himself for it. Listen, we must understand this morning that in the Old Testament, a relationship with God was by faith through grace. In the Old Testament, when you were worshiping God, you were looking forward to the cross. Let's say you were there with Moses in about 2000 BC. You were looking forward to the cross that would happen 2000 years later. And that's how you were accepted by Christ. You were accepted based upon your belief that the Messiah would come one day. Amen? And that He would die and would give His life for you. My acceptance of the Old Testament was based upon Christ and what He did for me on the cross. Now, again, we see that though salvation in the Old Testament was by grace through faith, just as it is in the New Testament. Everyone still following me? The way in which we worshiped, or the way in which we came to God, was through the sacrifice and through the priest. In the Old Testament, if you were going to come and have a relationship with God, you had to come through the temple and through a priest. In the Old Testament. But listen to me. God made Himself available. God made Himself available. Available through the temple and through a priest. In the New Testament, God has said, call no man father. God says that Christ is our mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are royal priests and that we have direct access to God. Amen. No longer do we have to go through the temple. No longer do we have to go through a priest or a pastor. We go to God. Amen? He has made Himself available. I'm glad today He's available right now. He's available. He's available to us. We understand there in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. God made Himself available. God became man and lived on earth for 33 and a half years. Lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And at the end of that 33 and a half years, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, laid His life down on the cross and allowed the Roman soldiers to nail Him to that cross and to lift Him up and place Him in that hole in the ground. And there Jesus Christ died for me. Died for me. He made Himself available that I might have eternal life, that I might have salvation, that I might escape hell and have heaven, that I might have my sins forgiven. Christ made Himself available. And He's still doing so today. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? He's available today. Many homes are chaotic because Christ isn't the center of the home. Because salvation hasn't come to that home. Because mom and daddy are not saved. Listen this morning. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to make yourself, to bring yourself to Christ. He's made Himself available. He loves you and He's concerned for you this morning. Husbands who love their wives enough, make themselves available. Parents who love their children enough, make themselves available. Where are you going with this one, Pastor? Love is spelt what, class? T-I-M-E. Y'all been around me a little while, haven't you? T-I-M-E. If you're going to have a relationship with your spouse, you've got to spend time together. You have to make yourself available. You can't expect to have a relationship when you never spend any time with each other. You never spend any, let me put it this different, quality time with each other. Just sitting in front of the TV watching whatever isn't quality time. Husbands, I know it's an issue, but have you spent any time listening to her? Listening to her. Wives speak 25,000 words a day. Men speak 12,000 words a day. By the time men are done working, they already got the 12,000 words done. It's over. So men, when you get home, you have to make yourself available to your wife. You have to make a conscious effort to listen. And not that dazed look, you know. I mean, really listen to your wife. Make yourself available. Make yourself available. Parents, make yourself available to your kids. Again, love is spelled T-I-M-E. You can give them all the stuff in the world that you want to. It's not going to make up for the time you spend with them. It's not going to make up for the baseball and the things that you missed. Be very careful. Be very careful. Spend time with your kids. Rules without relationship brings rebelliousness. Rules without relationships brings rebelliousness. You say, I don't know why my kids are so rebellious, why they won't obey, why they won't do this. I'm talking about when they become teenagers. Because of time. Listen, you can follow the biblical guidelines of discipline in the home. You can say to your kids, if you do this, I'm going to spank you. If you do this, I'm going to ground you. And you can follow the rules and you can be consistent in those rules. You can discipline lovingly and kindly. Do all those things right. But the discipline will not work without T-I-M-E. The discipline will not work without the relationship. Do you understand? It will not work. I've had people come to my office. Preacher, I did exactly what you said. I took my kid and I set the rules down, and then we went over the rules and over the rules and over the rules. And when he broke the rules, I punished him. When he broke the rules, I punished him. I broke the rules, I punished him. And preacher, spankings don't work. Bull. The Bible says, if you follow the guidelines of the Bible, that it will work. Okay, I just simply believe the Bible. You do this, it will work because it's the Lord. Amen? He don't make mistakes. So, it has to be something you're doing. And most of the time, the reason why discipline does not work in the home, which causes chaos, when there's no discipline, there's chaos. The reason why it doesn't work is because mom and daddy are not spending time. They're not making themselves available. Listen, that extra 2 hours of work is not worth it. Another $50 a week is not worth it. It's just not worth it. Listen, your kids get out of the house, you can work all you want. If you want to run yourself in the ground, do that. Pay for the college, amen? But spend time. Make yourself available. Make yourself available. I'm glad the Lord made Himself available for us. Made Himself available for us. Boy, there's so much here. Lastly, 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The last thing I'd like to speak about this morning is advocacy. Every marriage needs an advocate. Every marriage needs an advocate. You cannot always have it your way. I know the commercial says otherwise, but you cannot always have it your way. The wife can't always have it her way. The husband can't always have it his way. The children can't always have it their way. We must have an advocate. You need someone to help keep peace in the home. By the way, the person that helps keep peace in the home is not your girlfriend. Man, the person that helps keep peace in the home is not your friend at work or your co-worker who's going to give you some kind of unbiblical advice. Your advocate's not, husband's is not your mother-in-law, though you might like to do that. Just kidding. Your advocate's not your neighbor. Your advocate for peace in the home is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ stands at the right hand, or sits at the right hand of the throne of God, pleading my case to God. And every time I sin, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, it's going to happen. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, God is there on the throne, and Jesus Christ, every time I sin, Jesus Christ says to His Father, "But I paid the price for Him already. I sacrificed my life on Calvary for His sins. I have an advocate. I have someone who's gone between me and God." Amen? He's my mediator. If you want peace in the home, you must rely upon Christ. If you want peace in your life, Christ has made Himself available, and He will be your advocate. He will be the one called alongside to help you. Trust in Him. Amen? Jesus Christ keeps us right with God. We must submit ourselves one to another, submit ourselves to God, lay down our arms, and follow Jesus. Jesus died for us. He is the mediator. He's the advocate. He alone gives salvation. Some today in this room need to totally, totally surrender to Him. Some today need to come down the altar and say, "Lord, I want complete surrender in my life of my family. Totally to You. All the direction for my family, the goals and the direction we're going forward, Lord, I want Your direction. I want Your will. I want to be totally accountable to You. Lord, I want to be better at accepting my kids for who they are, for not what they do. Lord, help me to make myself available to my family. God, give us peace in the home, and He'll do it." Do you know Jesus this morning? Let me ask you this. Is it your way or His way? in your family? Is it His way or your way? I choose His way. I choose His way. Let's all stand.